That should be bad. All right. So this is in the back. All right, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Designated Players Podcast. This is episode 16, I think. My goodness, that's 4 months of episodes. Yikes. We are going to venture in, once again, another dead time for MLS. We are going to venture into another list, and this time it is going to be the MLS Biggest Flops list. So big money signings, designated players who showed up and did nothing. Connor rightfully called it the Yoshi list because it is literally the Yoshi of every team. Other than that, we'll just jump right into Scarf of the Week. And Connor, I like your hat. Talk about your hat.
Yeah, I'm in a new location now, so got some new stuff to bring out. Got the Chelsea hat to bring out today. But, yep. You know, same scarf as always. Otherwise,
cool.
We'll go to Adam. I see the yellow scarf.
Yeah. It's upside down, but my brand new $4 on Eurosport Clue America scarf, very fancy, rocking the Mexican teams.
And then I have brought back out the signature. We're redoing it. Where are you? There it is. Of the greatest signing of Red Bull history. Hi, Gracie.
Respawnmaster.
And it's just, I find it ironic because he was the greatest signing and the greatest player in the league history. And we're talking about some of the worst ever, so irony, right? But of course, we are going to jump right in and start with Atlanta because we love a nice little alphabetical list, and we'll send it over to Atlanta's biggest fan.
So Atlanta's had a short history. A lot of it's been very good, so it's a little bit hard to pick guys that have necessarily flopped. I think there's two guys that kind of haven't lived up to expectations that I think you can go with, and it's got to be PT or Barco. I went with Barco in this case. He went for a fee, at least according to Transfer Market, of $13.32 million. Obviously, huge fee, especially for MLS. Me picking Barco doesn't mean that he's a bad player, and it doesn't mean that he could stay not living up to expectations. He could easily turn it around and become more successful. But I think thus far, he just hasn't lived up to the hype that he had when he was first joining the team. When Atlanta were looking to get him, the hype for Barco was unreal. Like, not even just in MLS, just around the world. The fact that he decided to come to an MLS team, which is just crazy. Your first year with Barco on the team, he finished with the 14th highest rating on WhoScored, which was behind even Chris McCann. So you can't exactly say that's a great season for him. And he had, I don't know if you guys remember it, but the off-the-field issues with Brandon Vasquez, definitely not helping live up to expectations there. And then last year, he finally started to play better. He started to fill out that potential, and then he got hurt. So then he missed most of the season. So I'd say the potential is still there, but as of right now, he hasn't shown enough to really justify that price tag.
Yeah, so the other thing I want to add to that is that even before he got hurt, he was benched. I think he fell out of favor with DeBoer, and probably because of some of the off-the-field stuff, but he wasn't even in the first team before he got hurt because he got hurt on international duty for the U-20s of Argentina, right? Or U-23s maybe?
But he had games that year, so.
No, he played. So he played and then he fell out of favor. Then he got hurt on international duty. I think he played once when he came back, got healthy. Yeah, I also went Barco here. The other thing I want to add, he went for like 13.5 mil to play 45 games, score 8 goals. He was wasn't he a record signing for the league at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Really promising. Probably. And he just never got under, you know, never got his legs under him. I can honestly see him leaving in a year or two, no real contribution to the team. And Atlanta will probably take a loss on him. But because Pitti has played a lot more games and he really did have a nicer year last year, even though DeBoer straight up benched his ass, he just is better than what Barco has given to the team, and Barco has been here longer. And honestly, it's a shame that the season had to go down because Barco looked like he was starting to get, you know, start off real hot again.
Yeah.
And, you know, this might have been his year. But since we have no season to go off and we're only going off those 2 years, Barco bust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took this list a bit differently. So I not only looked at the people who obviously flopped on the field, but if there was – a bad transfer just in general, whether it was in or out, just because of the transfer itself. I kind of factored that in. So the two names I wrote down, one was Breck Shea. Connor, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but when I saw you guys got Breck Shea, I was like, what a signing. That's, you know, him bombing down that left side of Atlanta, whipping balls into Yosef. Fantastic. Like, watch out the rest of the Eastern Conference. And then it hasn't really happened, at least as far as I thought it would. The other one, I didn't actually know he was technically an Atlanta player. It's Sean Johnson.
Yeah, we talked about. Oh,
yeah, for like a little bit.
I missed that week.
Yeah.
So he was an Atlanta player for all of like 6 hours.
Yeah. He came in and got switched right away.
Yeah,
that's an interesting take. I don't know if I'd call him a flop because he never played.
So it wasn't a flop. It was a bad transfer, is what I kind of labeled it as.
I disagree. I think it's a good transfer because it helped them get resources, and they brought in Guzan anyway.
Yes, but the reason I put him in is Guzan isn't getting younger. They probably could have afforded him anyway. And then once he retires, Sean Johnson becomes the clear number one for the next 10 years.
I don't think Sean Johnson goes to Atlanta to be the backup for 5 years when he's starting at City or starting in Chicago. I'd start in Chicago before I back up in Atlanta. That's just me.
Yeah, but I saw his name come up, and I was like, I did not know that was a thing.
Any other shouts there? Any thoughts? I think Breck Shea was a name that I thought of but didn't go with because the price tag wasn't awful.
No, it came on enough free, I think.
Yeah, and then Barco comes in for 13.5 mil to score eight goals in 2 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but like I said, I think it's an interesting shout. I like the way you kind of spun it. I'm interested to see how you can spin that for other teams.
Oh, just wait.
Let's move on to Chicago then. I will take this if that's okay. Because I think I have a really good one here. And it was tough because they have made actually some decent big money signings. Nemanja Nikolic, David Akam, Frankowski are some of their more recent ones, along with some of the big three that they signed this year, right? Their striker, Berich, and some players like that. And then this guy, Sean Maloney, pops up. And I was like, oh, my God, I remember when Sean Maloney signed for Chicago. And I looked at this two ways, right? You can look at it in terms of money, and if you look at it in terms of money, this wasn't awful. Because they bought him for $650K when he was valued at 2.2 mil and then sold him for 2.2 mil. So they made a nice bit of profit. But this was 2015, and MLS marked every transfer that went out and took like 75% of your fee. So I'm not looking at it in terms of money. I'm going to look at it the bad way. Maloney signed in January. It was the second highest transfer that was recorded at the time behind David Akam at the same year for 2.2 mil. He played in 14 games, scored 3 goals, 3 assists. Chicago loses 6 of these games. Then he packs his bags and goes back to England. They finish last in the league by a long way. I remember reading in through this, and I'm like, what in the heck did I just see? So, big money for a guy to put up 3 goals and then bounce on out of there. That's a big bust for me.
I definitely saw him and was tempted to put him on, but I went for Gilberto.
Gilberto, oh. So
he easily could have gone on the Toronto list, and when we get there, I've got some other names. Gilberto came in. And for a DP, 5 goals in his first season, you're thinking, okay, you know, learning the league, getting used to it, you know, how the new team plays. He'll do great in the second season. He didn't score the rest of the season, and then they terminated his contract halfway through in July. For a DP to score 5 goals in a season and a half, not good.
That's a great shout. You know, he's still playing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I the first thing I have written down was actually something you said, Andrew. Like, as of lately, they've been spending pretty well on a lot of their bigger name guys. But I think if you look a little bit into the past, there's a couple of people you can go with that really didn't pan out for them. And I actually went different than both of you, but I do like both of the shots. They're both good. I went with a different designated player. I went with Juan Luis Anangono. So he spent 2 years with Chicago before getting sent to a team in Mexico. Who Scored had him the 14th highest rated player in 2013 and the 25th highest rated player in 14. And his average rating was a 6.5. And in the two seasons, he made 13 starts and had 4 goals as an attacker. And that is atrocious as your designated player who makes 13 starts in two seasons.
I think that's a, like I said, I like when we all have three different ones that actually make sense.
It's a bad shot for Chicago.
There's plenty of time for us to argue about picks in the coming teams. So,
dude, yeah, Chicago, you could talk about Chicago for the entire hour that we have here because they had like 2 playoff appearances in 10 years. So they definitely didn't spend well.
It's 2 more than Orlando's had.
Colorado, what's up?
Does the name Danny Wilson ring a bell?
Yeah.
So signed from Rangers, 3-year contract for about $350K, made 43 appearances, and that's pretty much it. That's all he did. He was on the field 43 times.
I went with Gabriel Torres. He was the first designated player in Colorado Rapids history, and he was certainly one to forget. He had the DP spot for 3 seasons, and he played in 55 games, getting 10 goals and 5 assists with an average rating of a 6.6 over 3 seasons. 55 games over 3 seasons for your designated player is not something to write home about, and certainly only getting 10 goals and 5 assists is not good enough either.
Yeah, I was wrong. Danny Wilson has 2 goals in 43 games, so not nothing, but not a lot.
He's also a center back, maybe.
Doesn't matter. Do something.
How many goals?
Jack Elliott's got 2 goals in 1 game.
Danny Wilson was actually the first name on my list until I realized, one, he's still playing with the team. 2, he was a part of the back line from last year that made them somewhat enjoyable to watch, if I remember correctly. They did all right last year, right?
So yeah, I think so. I wasn't supporting them then, so we don't count those times.
but I mean like they weren't awful, right? So he started trending in the right direction. And to me, he still has a way to prove. For me, a bust, unless you've been there for a year, like a team for a year or 2 years, a bust needs to be somebody who showed up, left, and was awful or didn't do enough for what his price tag was, right? So I took him off the list, and I think I've got a controversial one here, but I have an explanation. And his name is – I can't pronounce his first name, but his last name is Gashi.
Yeah.
Shekslizin Gashi. And yeah. I know who – we all know who he is. Pretty sure he scored like a goal of the year nominee with that free kick, or actually might have had the goal of the year.
Yep.
However, that was one of his only bright spots. He was the highest transfer fee ever for a Colorado player. Decent first year, right? 9-3 in 26. Got them to 2nd in the West. And then it all spiraled downhill. Over the next 2 years, he plays 38 of 68 games, scores 4 times, and has 3 assists. That's your record signing, playing 38 games out of 68 and scoring 4 times as an attacking mid or a winger and getting 3 assists. Granted, his team was around him wasn't great, but still, your record signing does that. Not it for me. That's not numbers that say you're decent. So I'm going to go ahead and put the big old B on him.
Before we move on to the next team, looking at who Colorado brought in that back line, I mean, we've talked about it the first couple episodes that we did as we kind of hyped them up before the season. Can you honestly tell me Danny Wilson's getting into that team?
Well, he hasn't played yet. But I mean,
do you see him
on the bench?
See him replacing any of those starters, barring injury?
No.
So there you go. It's a future big flop. I'm predicting the future.
All right, so now you're going to play the future game. All right, well, I'm going to say that in 2055, LAFC are going to sign, and he's going to flop.
I mean, if he's still playing by then, good for him.
Anyways, let's go on to Columbus.
I was hoping I wouldn't get Columbus.
Too bad.
I did not know who to pick for Columbus at all. So I will gladly agree with one of the guys that you guys picked because I probably ended up missing somebody. But I ended up going with Archer. He had a transfer fee of $1.38 million, which was the third highest on transfer market. But then again, like we were talking about before, transfer market doesn't have a lot of the fees listed. So he may not necessarily be the third highest, but still, give or take, he should probably end up being top five biggest fee they've paid for a player. You know, he's been decent, but I just don't think he's been top five best player for them. I don't think he's necessarily justified the fee yet, but he still has time to do it. Who Scored had him at an average rating of 6.7 over the three seasons that he's been there. You know, that's not bad. It's pretty average. But, you know, like I said, it was hard for me to find somebody. I might have missed someone, so I'm open to other suggestions for Columbus.
Before we move on to that, I just want to say that you had Will Trapp as one of your four best players for Columbus, right?
I don't remember, but probably.
He pushed Will Trapp out the door and took his spot. So
I'm a fan of Artur.
I'm a big fan of Artur. So while Connor, I appreciate you coming right out and saying that you missed him, because this was a difficult yeah. choice. I will not fault you for this. I'll probably make fun of you for it because I just don't like you. Yeah, this one was difficult, and because Adam made the point, right? They didn't spend a lot. They didn't spend a lot at all, at least not something that we could see number wise has been released. I'm going with David Akam, and this is why. David Akam got signed, and they were expecting him to go straight back to the way he played in Chicago. Brought him in for around 500K, played him for 15 games, got 2 goals, 1 assist, and then let him walk to Nashville. 8th most expensive transfer ever, and didn't really get anything out of him. And had he played, the numbers don't, like the 2-1 don't bother me as much as the 15 games. Like, you didn't even play him. You spent that much money, you just sat on the bench. So that is, to me, especially knowing what he was able to do with Chicago, you didn't even give him a chance. That is, I kind of went the bad transfer route that Adam took and went on that route with him.
I have brought two players for this. I could have made the argument for this player being on 6 different MLS teams.
Oh my god. Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go for it. Who am I gonna say?
Pizza Hair.
No.
Really?
Big Patrick Mullins.
Oh god.
You can't bring in someone for 130K, sell him for around 45K the next season, and he scored 1 goal in 19 games.
That's not a bust, that's just a flyer, I think.
You can't be on. He's on his 5th MLS team in 6 years. You can't tell me half the Eastern Conference has taken a flyer on the same person. And he's
it's exactly what it is. It's not bust money. It's not $1 million for a guy to see what a guy can do. It's 100K, which is thrown around for draft picks, which never even make it to MLS.
At some point, someone's got to be like, all right, you're not making it.
Send him with Reese Buckmaster right down to USL2.
He's one of those guys who will always be in the league. He's never going to go off, but he's just always there.
He's just there.
The other one I had, I completely forgot about this guy because he only existed for a very brief time, was Cedric Mabwadi.
I liked Cedric. I saw that name, and I didn't pick him for a reason.
It was tough not to. I mean, they brought him in and then immediately loaned him back out. And then after 30 games, he scored twice and then was sold for on a free. I mean,
yeah, that's a fair shout. You know, I remembered just him and Harrison Offal being like super fast, super electric. And
I mean, we've established with Derek that being super fast doesn't always translate to end product. As sad as I am with that statement. Yeah.
It's literally them all. They're all the same.
So, Derek, if you're listening to this by some chance, we still love you.
I think we can all agree Columbus has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah. DCU. DC me? Is that me?
Yep.
This one's pretty easy. My good buddy Connor Doyle. Connor Doyle was the 7th most expensive signing in DC history on the list. Signed in 2013-2014, played 66 games in 3 seasons and scored 6 times, 4 of those in the league. He was bought for 500K in 2014 MLS. That's like,
that's a lot of money.
Bad money in 2014 MLS. And that dude scored 4 league goals. He was actually in USL 1 until 2019 too, which is a fun fact. But yeah, this guy flopped in MLS and was a very good DCU bust, which we all love to see.
I went slightly different. So there's a very specific reason that I picked who I'm about to tell you. And he might not have been the worst player DC's ever had, but just the fact that something happened makes it all the better. My pick was Rafael.
Rafael.
So signed as a young DP on a one-year loan from Brazil. He was supposed to be the next kind of wonder kid to come to DC.
Yeah.
I made 7 appearances and played once. And the reason he didn't make more appearances was because he concussed himself in training and then never quite recovered.
Doing what?
Just being special. I don't know. But yeah, gave himself a concussion in training and then essentially never played again.
Nice shout. I did not know that dude existed, but that is a great story. I'm a big fan, and I'm actually trying to find this dude right now.
His full name is Rafael Teixeira de Souza, if that helps.
I'm not sure it does. Connor, who do you got?
Believe it or not, I have Rafael as well.
Yes, Connor.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have much to add on from Adam. He's 7 appearances, 4 starts, 1 goal. He had a 6.13 on Who Scored, which is atrocious.
All right, but sorry, before you go on, Connor, this is Connor's, like, episode. He's able to trash people with the Who Scored rating every single time.
I've been watching for, like, 3 years, so this is all I have to go off.
Adam has to talk about FCC. Go ahead, Adam.
So I'll get this one out of the way quickly, and there's logic, and I did this with a few players. It's Jurgen Locadia, but it's not 100% his fault. If the loan ends by the time the season doesn't restart and FCC wasted all that loan money and paying him for literally not doing anything, that kind of sucks. So to get that out of the way, the other one I put was Leo Bertone. First DP, scored the first ever goal in franchise history, and then did nothing else. That was the only goal he scored. Yes, it was fantastic and should have counted for like 5 more goals, but that's not the way MLS works. And then when they won a total of 6 games their debut season, because they're a dumpster fire, like we've said, or like I've said, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. I am leaving back to Switzerland, and off he went.
I'm just going to go ahead and ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
You remember the name Fernando Adi?
I do.
Remember how we said we were going to forget his spell ever existed?
That's why I didn't pick him, because I forgot.
That wasn't serious. You know that, right?
No, like, I forgot him. I straight up forgot about him.
The record DP signing for $800,000, plays 12 games, scores 1 goal, and leaves on a free.
Well, how much – what did Bertone come in for? I remember it was a decent amount of money.
Regardless, he still played. My dude Adi sat on the bench and took a paycheck.
I mean,
well, he also had the driving while impaired incident that season.
True.
Just a whole mess. Just a whole mess.
What do you expect? Yeah. FCC. The whole club's a mess.
Speaking of a mess, his market value is 1.1 mil. You want to know how much they sold him to FC Thun for?
0.
100K.
Gross.
Oh, I love that club. That club makes me giggle.
They pulled the Ed Monix. They traded him for a washing machine.
Yep. Connor, any anybody else?
Well, we were talking before the podcast about FCC. So I know we both had Adi, and shout out to Matt for giving us the idea for that one.
No, don't.
Yeah, he gave us the idea for it. So he gets some credit for it.
That. He's not he's not even a real podcast supporter. He doesn't.
It was a good shout. It was a good shout. Adi,
you can say whatever you want. He's not going to listen. He doesn't.
Okay, I don't care. That's fine. That's fine. I'll let him know. But yeah, you could make an argument for some other players on CLC.
Oh, absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But I think Adi's like a very easy shout to go for. If you can remember, that
team won 6 games.
Very unforgettable.
6 games. You can make a case for the entire team.
My first sentence when I was writing this was everyone. That's the tweet.
I did that with another team.
Literally, their whole team is just awful. What do you say about FC Dallas?
All right, so I'll say off the bat, since you guys stuck more for 2010s, you're not going to – I doubt you're going to have the player I have.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
You probably do.
Yep.
Danielson.
Yep.
Yeah. He came on a free, but he was coming off winning the World Cup with Brazil. He was once the highest ever transfer fee for a player in Spain, and he was only 30 at the time that he was coming to Dallas. So it wasn't like he was a Frank Lampard, Andrea Pirlo coming over. Like, there should have still been some, you know, energy in the legs, but he really did not live up to the expectations. He played 8 games for them, 8, and he scored 1 goal. Yeah, so 8 games.
I think he's the obvious pick.
Yeah, 8 games, 1 PK before leaving the club. He was there for less than a full season. He was, I think, their first ever DP. And I saw that there were even reports that Dallas players said they had to change the way they played in order to make up for how poor he was playing on the field.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I've got one better.
Who?
So I got stuck between 2. Anton Nedyalkov, who I will just mention – he was my second choice. Danielson was my third. Nedyalkov was my second because he played 9 games for FC Dallas, was a DP last year as a left back, and just bounced. He was the third most expensive transfer for 1.39 mil. Now there's this other name, Anibal Chala. Outside of research, has anybody ever heard this guy's name before?
Nope.
No.
No. You want to know why? He never played a game for FC Dallas. My guy got signed for $700,000, loaned out the second they signed him, never stepped foot in the country.
Wild.
Never. Not once did he put on an FC Dallas kit. Not once did he step inside Texas. Just did not exist on the team. Don't know if he had visa issues or whatever. I couldn't find any info on it. But he spent his entire FC Dallas career on loan in Colombia. He was signed as a young DP, never played a minute. Maybe one of the top 5 worst transfers in league history. That I don't think there's even. I don't even think like Danielson was good. Chala was good.
Yeah. Speaking of Colombians, I went with Andres Escobar. No, not the one that ended up getting killed. Apparently, there's another one. Brought in on some crazy DP contract and then proceeded to score 4 goals in 30 and then was just loaned out the rest of the next season because FC Dallas was like, we can't be bothered. It's crazy how many
– Dallas have messed up. True. It doesn't shock me that there are a lot of really bad DPs. It shocks me more that there are players who are bought in as non-DPs that are really bad.
Yeah.
For example – no, I'm just kidding. This is Houston, and Houston doesn't have a lot of valued players on transfer market. They're all like question marks or whatever. So I went with Kika Struna.
Wow.
The center back. For the only reason, he's only been there a year, played 29 games, kept 2 clean sheets, finished 6th to 11th in the league, cost 550K, and has not done anything to make that back line better this year, as we've seen already. So if I had more money data, or this was before I started realizing that I should look more into big names versus money, I'm sure I could go in and look right now and find a DP. Because I know when I was doing research, there was a name that was in the back of my head I could not pick out. And I don't know why. But Adam, go ahead and tell me who I forgot because I know who it is.
Is it Matias Vera?
No.
Okay, because they brought him in for almost $1 million, and he's done nothing. 0 goals in 30 games as a midfielder. I had to look him up on MLS Fantasy to see whether he was actually even on the team anymore. Update, he's a 5.8 million midfielder that I had never even, like, looked at. Like, I picked some Houston midfielders for Fantasy because they have some decent ones. Never even recognized that he was there.
How many assists does he have?
Not many that I could find.
Interesting. Because I always thought that he was a much better player than...
Yeah, nothing that I could find. It just made it sound like he was present.
I think he always played because the team around him was not great. So I just always remember seeing his name and just automatically assume, because nobody watches Houston for fun, right?
Like, exactly. That's
a supporter, so nobody knows who that is.
Maybe in the past Houston.
Yeah, yeah. 2013, people loved watching Houston. Connor, what do you got?
I have Luis Angel Landon.
Wow, that was almost really, like, well-pronounced, and then you hit it with a la.
Anyway, he was at Houston for 2 years on loan. He was their first ever designated player. He made 16 appearances for them over the 2 years. He scored 2 goals and had 3 assists. I don't know about you guys, but I love me a striker that scores 1 goal every 8 games, especially my designated player striker. And he barely ever found his way onto the field, mainly because he was either having a bad attitude or he was out of shape. So I don't think there's any other way to conclude Houston's first DP as anything other than a flop.
Interesting. The only reason I won't go with that is because he was a lone player. And if we're adding lone players as flops, the Red Bulls got like 9 of them. So
oh, yeah.
Red Bulls had more than 9.
Red Bulls had a lot.
Let's go ahead and talk about LA Galaxy. And before Adam starts talking about it, Adam, you cannot pick Chicharito.
I didn't. I promise. I was so tempted.
I was tempted too, also, honestly.
You, in all fairness, and this isn't me being a pain in the butt, he got like a 2 out of 10 rating his first game with the captain's arm end.
Oh, my God.
That's not who I picked. I'm just saying. I put the absolute psychopath in midfield that is Nigel De Jong.
Who?
Nigel De Jong.
Oh, I thought you said Natalie Young. I'm like,
who? Yeah.
I mean, she might play too, but
that's,
you know,
a good shout.
Yeah. The only memories I have of this man are destroying people in tackles, namely Xabi Alonso in that final.
Bro, my guy's entire job was go in there and break somebody's ankle. If you don't break somebody's ankle, you don't get paid.
The only two Galaxy contributions he had was destroying Darlington Nagby and then getting a yellow and then later suspended because he wasn't sent off when he should have been, and then tackling Blas Perez and then get sent off, and then they terminated his contract because he literally just tried to murder people.
Brandon, he was like, everybody talks about how the league is a much more physical league than most people are expecting. The young thought we were just weak
ass. Yeah, apparently there are no rules in this country. You can just 2-foot people whenever you wanted.
Unreal.
Honestly, I like yours a little bit better than I like my pick, but I'll still run with mine. I went with Steven Gerrard. Obviously, the man is a legend in the game with Liverpool back in Europe. But it was obvious when he was coming here that it was in the same fashion as Lampard and Pirlo. He was way past his prime. He was looking to take it easy, collect a paycheck before retiring. I'd argue that he played at the same level, if not a little bit better, than Lampard and Pirlo. Who scored had him around like a 7, which is pretty good. He finished with 5 goals and 12 assists. The main thing for me was the fact that he was getting paid $9 million in salary a year and took up a DP slot, and he only played 34 games over the 2 seasons out of a possible 68 games. If you're playing half the games, getting paid $9 million a year, it's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's definitely a fair shout. I kind of stayed away from that because he did actually have an impact on the field.
Yeah, I get that. This was a tough one for me.
Which is going to sound really hypocritical when I talk about my NYC pick, but my NYC pick was the same thing that you said. I don't know. I thought about Gerrard and I just kind of went the other way because he came in on a free. But yeah, again, on my early picks when I was doing it late at night on a Saturday when I was super tired, I didn't think of I thought about the price tag they used to buy the players, not what they used to pay the players, which should have changed things up. So I went with João Pedro. João Pedro signed for $1.6 million, played 34 games and then 28 games in 2016-17, gets sent out on loan for the next 2 seasons, and then gets let go on a free. The only thing that didn't make it awful was that he wasn't a DP, but it wasn't a great – I don't think it was a great signing because he was a part of the team that wasn't great at all ever. like 2016, 2017 LA Galaxy were. 2016 was good, and then wasn't 2017 the year they just flopped?
I think so.
Didn't they like really not do well in 2017?
Yeah.
Like bottom.
I think they missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Bottom of the league.
Yeah, they were bad.
They were really bad. So that kind of weighed in on it. However, I would go with Gerard. Probably. I feel like Gerard changed the style of the play there a little bit, but not as much as he probably should have. I don't know. I'm going to stick with mine, but Connor, I don't hate yours. And Adam, I really don't hate yours. I like yours a lot.
I'll say, Jared wasn't just two-footing everyone who came near him.
Even though he probably could have.
He didn't have the energy.
He didn't. Bro. He was tired by that point.
Exactly.
Lofk.
This was easy. For me, it was easy. Yeah. I went with Andre Orta.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
$6.18 million fee is insane. He was one of the three DPs that they started with on the team. And he was there for two seasons, and he made a total of 15 appearances and only 5 starts with 0 goals and 0 assists and a 6.17 average rating on WhoScored. And I think it was a combination of injuries and just not being good enough that led him to not being on the field. And honestly, for me, this is genuinely one of the worst flops on this entire list.
Connor, have you seen the LAFC documentary?
No, I haven't.
Connor, he might have been hurt. He might have been something else. That dude was just playing bad. He did not fit in the system. Bob Bradley has an entire episode dedicated to just trashing this dude. They just show clips of him giving the ball away, not caring, walking all over practice. Dude was like Mario Balotelli in MLS. He was awful. But yeah, easy choice, right? I literally put, remember when he was on the team? Because nobody really does. 15 games, 0 goals, 0 assists in that LAFC team with that attacking lineup. You couldn't get one assist to Carlos Vela. Just touch the ball to him and let him run. He didn't even do that. My guy was a bust, and I agree with Connor. Probably one of the biggest busts. I think he's top 3 with Chala and somebody I'm going to mention later.
Ooh, no spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, I yield. That's fair. I totally forgot about him.
Yeah. Who'd you have?
I put
Carlos Vela has not scored enough goals.
No, yeah, exactly. mine was just the decision. So letting Walker Zimmerman go because they did, and we've talked about this before, they didn't do anything. And his presence, along with Tyler Miller, was like that's a dynasty, like a franchise building defensive pairing.
Yep.
And the few games we've seen LAFC without them this season, bad.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like that, I just remember that Lyon game, and Andrew and I were texting during it about that left side of it just getting
what the hell? What the hell? What is going on?
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, I think that's bad, but it wasn't Andre Horta.
No, yeah, that's totally fine. I'm okay with that.
Good. All right, up the loons for the playoffs. This one was difficult for me because, again, they haven't been around that long, so you can label a lot of players as busts. I give an honorable mention to Harrison Heath simply because he came on, played like 4 games, and then got cut by his dad. So, yeah, that's a tough one. But I'm going to go Angelo Rodriguez, 43 games in 2 years, DP striker, 13 goals, 6 assists, never played a full 90, and then terminated his contract prior to this year. And Minnesota did well without him, but he was supposed to be the guy that came in to turn things around for Minnesota and just never was. So,
yeah, I'm surprised you didn't go for Rasmus.
Rasmus Schuler, I thought about it, and I was like, nah,
one goal in 53 games? Really?
What position did he play? I thought he was a center defensive mid.
I don't think so. I think he was – like a winger, like attacking winger. Let's see. Rasmus. Center mid.
Yeah, defensive mid. And granted, remember, you got to remember, he played center mid in the Minnesota team that started the league, right? He
didn't do much, yeah.
Yeah. So he didn't have a lot going for him, but.
True.
I also went with Angelo Rodriguez. And I think the only thing I want to add on to what you said was just compare him to the other DP that Minnesota had at the time. Him versus Quintero, it's very obvious that he did not perform.
Yeah. Montreal, and you cannot say Thierry Henry is a coach.
No, I didn't. I don't mind him. I know. He's done very well for what Montreal has.
Yeah, he's made Montreal do decently with a team that shouldn't even be on the field.
Yeah. So this one was hard because apparently Montreal doesn't spend money on anybody ever. All their big name guys are literally all free transfers. Every single one. Victor Wanyama, Bojan, Tider, literally every single one. So I put, at the moment, and don't yell at me, I put Victor Wanyama for the same reason. I'm sure they spent a ridiculous amount of money bringing him in as far as his contract, and he's not doing anything. I'm sure he will do very well in that system because Montreal, yes, Andrew.
He's not doing anything because there are no games to do anything
in. But that's what I mean.
He signed the day before the league got shut down.
Sucks for Montreal. It's not his fault, but from a business standpoint, you're paying him all his money to do nothing on a DP contract.
I don't think that you can say that.
No.
Nobody saw it coming. Like, if they signed him and they went over the summer and he didn't do anything and then he just chose not to play, different story. But nobody saw this coming, so.
No, I know. I just – honorable mention. But the one I picked was the decision to let Zach Valentin go.
You're doing more decision-based. Interesting.
I am. Only because when – I didn't realize he was at Montreal because he was only there for a year. Obviously, when you think of him, you think of all the success he had in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, the talent was there. And then whoever at Montreal at the time was like, I don't think you're good enough. So, he said, okay, I'm going to go prove myself and win MLS Cups without you guys.
I went with a player that was in Montreal on loan for a year. And while he was on loan there, he took up a designated player spot. And it was Lucas Ontivero. Mm-hmm. So he came over on a loan from Galatasaray. He made 21 appearances for Montreal, and he finished with 2 goals and 2 assists and a 6.52 rating, which was 17th highest on the team. You know, like as Adam said, they don't spend a lot, so there wasn't like a clear-cut choice, I feel like. So I went with Ontivero because he was a DP and because he was only there for a year. Only made 21 appearances, in which only 12 he started, and only getting 2 goals and 2 assists just wasn't good enough as a designated player for me.
Interesting, yeah. For me, again, I didn't look at anybody who was on loan because I assume essentially it's just one of those, we'll take him in, try him out. If he doesn't work, he goes. For me, Rudy Camacho, kind of a weird one, but he was brought in for $825,000 in 2018, played 18 games. And then played 17 games in 2019. Montreal only picked up like 1.35 points per game. And he only had 7 clean sheets in the 35 games he played.
That Montreal team was bad.
Yeah, Montreal misses a playoff both years, so he didn't strengthen the back line at all. He just kind of sucked. Granted, again, not many players around him, not many coaches to get the best out of him. But, you know, he left Devin Bush out to dry. So, New England Revs.
All right, so New England Revs, I went with Jerry Bengtsson.
Jerry Bengtsson? No.
Yeah.
Why?
He was a DP for them for 3 years, and he made 36 total appearances, 23 of them he started, and he scored 4 goals and had 0 assists in the 36 appearances for them. And who scored gave him a 6.34 rating in 2013, which was the second worst rating on the team, and a 6.29 in 2014. So I couldn't find a transfer fee for him. But for me, even if the transfer fee ended up not being much at all, I still think it was a waste of a DP slot for a number of years.
You know what? I got this guy confused with somebody else. So I remember there was a guy who played for New England who consistently scored against the Red Bulls. Every time he stepped on the field, he scored for us.
Maybe he was all 4 goals against Red Bull.
No, I just looked it up, and it's not. He scored his first – the first goal he scored on his first game, he scored against us. and then nothing much after that. I confused him with somebody else. That's not a bad shout. That's not as bad of a shout as I thought it was, because I thought he was a different player. Yeah, my shout is Xavier Kouassi. This is where I started to change from transfer fee to how much did you actually play and what was your title and how much did you get paid. He was a DP in 2017. I remember this because they signed him and I was opening FIFA packs and he was a bronze card and I packed it. And I was like, oh, this dude's sick. And then he blew out his knee like right before he shows up, played 23 games and has more red cards than goals. And then he leaves. So he was a center defensive mid, right? So obviously it's a little bit more impressive. But Diego Chara doesn't have more red cards than goals, and he's the best CDM in the history of the league. So I'm sorry, Kyle Beckerman or Michael Bradley.
Anyways. Nigel de Jong.
Yeah. This guy comes in as a DP and plays 23 games, gets a butt ton of red cards, and does nothing for a New England team that didn't make playoffs. So that's my shout.
Yeah, Connor, I had the same person as you did.
Adam, I'm going to throw NYC to you because I've got a special bone to pick with my good buddies at RBNY.
So, and I'm going to be super unprofessional and bring my phone out because I called in these picks to our good friend Jonathan Kasman.
Wait.
He gave me a bunch of options.
Oh yeah.
So the two I picked when I was making my list were Josh Saunders for obvious reasons, and the other one was Andrea Pirlo, which as an Italian hurts me to say. But the ones that Jonathan told me to say were the argument could be made for Mixed Discarude, Jesus Medina, doesn't think is worth a DP, Kyrie Shelton, Rodney Wallace. I mean, the list just goes on and on, especially from those early years. But as much as it hurts me to say, I'm going to have to pick Andrea Pirlo. Whoever brought him in obviously wasn't counting on his on-the-field contributions. You can't bring in someone who's made a career spraying these beautiful long passes and dictating tempo in the midfield and then stick him at Yankee Stadium, where if he kicks the ball more than 5 feet, it's out of the stadium. So that's why I picked him.
I can't believe you didn't say the obvious choice. You won't go against your Chelsea Blues.
I won't. Really. I can't.
I knew it. I was reading that list, and I knew you weren't going to say it.
I knew it. Yep, I purposely tiptoed around it.
I think Jesus Medina is a good shout. I don't think he's worth a DP slot at all. Andrea Pirlo was one of my two. Josh Saunders was my honorable mention because best player for Red Bull history, we know.
Exactly.
And then comes Super
Frank. I'll close my ears for this.
You know what would hurt Adam more to hear is that he played his entire 2014 year at Man City. He didn't even play.
Yes, for Chelsea. And he scored the equalizer against us.
Yeah, he did.
It hurts me.
Yeah, I remember that too.
So I'm stuck between Pirlo and Frank. Yeah. And I know a lot of people will say Pirlo. I knew Adam was going to say it. That makes sense, right? The dude, by the time he was done, wouldn't even run. Like, he was not happy. But I have to say Frank, and here's why. He was signed and was being paid a salary by MLS and New York City in 2014. That entire season was spent playing 25 games for Man City. So he stole $6 million straight from MLS, didn't even step in the country. Then he joins in 2015, plays 10 games. He literally gets paid almost $500,000 every time he steps foot on the field. Then we talk about how he plays 19 games in 2016, and he has some decent numbers, right? He scored, what, like 11 goals or something. But he gets paid $6 million a year. He gets paid $18 million to play 30 games for a club and then retire. Nah, not worth it. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your history is. Not worth the money. Pirlo was awful, but at least he played.
Connor, if you say Frank Lampard, I'm going to make you take that hat off.
No, I didn't say Frank. I picked Pirlo strictly to not pick Frank.
Attaboy.
But I 100% understand why people would pick Frank.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think a lot of people, because of the 11 goals he scored in 2016, are going to say, I'm not going to pick him because he scored a bunch of goals and led us to our first playoff appearance. But the dude played 30 games in 3 years.
Didn't he have NYC's first hat trick?
No, via death.
Are you sure?
I'm almost certain.
I'm not.
I'll look it up.
I went with Pirlo because he actually had a lower who scored rating than Lampard, but I get the Lampard shout because he didn't play, like you said. Pirlo was also making $6 million a year just to kind of jog around the field and pretend to kick a ball. Obviously, I understand both ways, but I'm not going to pick Frank because, you know, there's a reason I'm wearing the hat on my head.
Yeah, Andrew, I was right. Frank Lampard had the first one.
Really? I'm trying to look it up, and I can't find where it is on
They played against Colorado, I think.
Are we good? Can I rant?
Go for it.
Go
try off. To keep it under 2 hours.
Rafa Marquez. Oh, my God. Literally the worst signing in league history. Not actually, but probably up there. I sat down and tried to think of one good thing this guy has done for Red Bull in however long he was here. I could not be bothered to look up how long he's been here. That's how angry it made me trying to learn this. Except he made one pass to Thierry Henry for a goal. That was his only contribution. He was right around when I first really started following. And I just remember sitting there watching players run by him and then complaining about somebody not stepping to prevent the pass. Or I don't even know. His most memorable moment was when he got a red card in the 2012 series against DC and cost us the entire – Mark Geiger cost us that series and the MLS Cup we were bound to win. But that's a different story for another day. He never played more than 20 games a year. Never. They paid $4.6 million for this guy a year, for this guy to play 19 games at most. He just watched players run by him. He sat there and just kicked the ball to Thierry Henry and let Thierry Henry do his thing. One of the worst defenders I've seen. He just bothers the hell out of me. He just sucked.
In fairness.
And he played for Mexico. And he played for Mexico. That's the worst part.
He was good for Mexico.
He was great for Mexico. He was phenomenal for Mexico. And he showed up at Red Bull Arena or whatever stadium we would play at and just took a nap on the field. It was so bad. It's such a waste of money. Somebody help me.
So to be fair to him, and I'm not defending
– don't you dare be fair to him.
I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form. But if Thierry Henry was on my team, I would pretty much just launch balls up to him as well. But that's not excuse. He was bad. We had
Tim Cahill in the midfield.
True. Yeah, he was bad. And obviously that's my pick, and I knew Andrew was gonna. I literally the only thing in my notes is just let Andrew rant about this.
I'm gonna throw something. water. Keep talking.
Well, wait, because the second player I have. Is something that I really want to know. Andrew and I have talked about this person at length off air.
Me and Gracie are very upset right now, so please make my day better.
Andrew, can you guess who my player was that wasn't named Rafa Marquez? I'll give you a hint. He's currently playing for the team. And I say currently playing with a big asterisk.
You're going to put the GOAT.
No, I'm not.
You better not.
I'm not. I'll give you a hint. He was brought in for $2.5 million.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Matthias Jorgensen.
Yeah.
$2.5 million for nothing. Literally nothing.
Yeah. He's a future project. You can't.
Yes. He's 19. But $2.5 million for someone playing in the Denmark League who had 2 goals in 7 games or something stupid. Yep. You spend a ridiculous amount of money and you think, okay. Fine. Bradley Wright Phillips is on his way out. We have our new, you know, star striker for the foreseeable future. But then, oh, wait, he goes to play for Red Bull too and gets replaced by Tom Barlow and Brian White.
Why? Jones, baby.
Why?
Because he fits the system, Adam.
He doesn't play in the system.
He fits the system. The system isn't on the field. The system is the organization. All right, you have to start at Red Bull too. It's the system. You know, I was really worried you were going to say somebody else, but I'm going to let Connor go because I think he might pick it out.
No, I also put Rafa, but I'll throw in an honorable mention one just for fun. I'll say Frank Ross.
Ugh,
the goalkeeper.
Not who I thought, but I will take it.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm still going Rafa as my pick. It's obvious, but from what I was reading up, Frank was not very good for you guys.
He was another German at the end of his career who we thought could be good and then got replaced with Buda Kintuol. And, oh, what was the other guy's name? The dude from Puerto Rico. Another guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I just can't think of his name.
Oh, my God. I know his name. I can see he's bald. Bald little white dude.
Honorable shout to Reese Buckmaster because you cost us a playoff game and then got released.
Nobody mentioned the Argentinian goat, which is good.
Verón.
Yeah, I thought somebody was going to pick out Gonzalo. Mucho trabajo.
So bad. Red Bull, I will say, some teams have had – it was very difficult to pick out a few players. Red Bull doesn't have that problem.
No. Yeah,
Red Bull has a lot of players.
Very bad.
Granted, we've been around for longer than most of these teams, but we've also made some just abysmal signings.
Connor, keep the conversation light. We're going to Orlando.
So I know that we always make the Yoshi joke, but I did not go with Yoshi on this
one. I didn't either.
No one did.
Okay. All right. I went with Brian Rochez. Okay. And he was a designated player for Orlando for 2 seasons, and he did not start a single game for them once. Not once. His first season, he made 16 appearances, and he had 3 goals while being the 27th ranked player on Orlando.
Yeah.
And then the next season, he was sent to their B team in the USL, where he only made 10 appearances. That's their designated player going to their B team. I'm not even going to say anything else. That just sums up Orlando.
Gonzalo Verón played for Red Bull too, all right? No trash players like that.
Connor, the worst part of that is he was loaned out the following year. He went from Orlando to Orlando B to out on loan.
It's a mess.
Yeah, I wrote anyone except Kaká from their debut season, and then I picked Brian Rochez.
So, I didn't pick Brian Rochez, and I agree with you that he was bad, but I had the image of Justin Meerum paying $1 million for Justin Meerum for him to play 15 games and then sell him for $200,000 less than you bought him back to the same team you bought him from. That was the second I came across Orlando. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yep.
So that's my choice.
That's the first name I put on my list.
And again, this one was more of a what type of transfer are you making here pick versus his production was bad too, right? 17 appearances, 2 assists, and 1 goal. But you spent $1 million to bring in a winger on a team that was already – this is halfway through the season. They were already out of the playoffs. They had already given up. You spent $1 million to bring this dude in, play him 17 times, and then sell him back at a loss to the same team you bought him from? Oh, God, that's peak Orlando. That is peak Orlando.
You wonder why they haven't made the playoffs.
And that's – I agree, Brian Rochez, awful. Justin Meerum is – the piece of business stood out to me.
Yeah.
More than anything. So I like your shouts. And are we ready to go to Philly? Because this is where I guarantee you nobody has. At least I don't think so. Because I was doing some –
we'll see.
I was – name the position of your bust, and we'll see.
Goalie.
Oh, so we do all have the same player. Right. I thought this was sneaky because I thought people forgot this guy existed.
Nope.
And that's why. So actually, originally, I wanted to say David Akam for the same exact reason as Columbus, but I don't want to double up on my list. So I went with the Algerian goalkeeper that conceded the legendary goal to Landon Donovan in the 2014 World Cup, Raiz Emboli, signed for $400,000 in 2014, which is the same year Andre Blake was drafted, by the way. And the second Blake was drafted, I watched his highlights and said, that dude needs to start ASAP. Because I remember watching Philly, and their goalkeepers were awful. And the second they drafted him, I was like, this is it.
Do you know who the other goalkeeper was? So, Emboli was brought in as the third goalkeeper behind Andre Blake.
And John McCarthy.
And Zach McMath.
Zach McMath, yeah.
No, really? Oh, John McCarthy was 2015.
Yeah.
Because Blake was drafted. He was supposed to be the guy to, like, hold over until Blake was ready to go. He played 9 times in 2 years.
He's so bad.
For 400K, couldn't claim a cross to save his life. That's the only thing I remember is every time he went to go claim a cross, it went over his head. And then I was reading articles that this dude, the coach came out at the end of 2015 and said, this dude's never playing for us again. Mm-hmm. His time is done and he's being sold. And that's when John McCarthy was a backup. But I remember he came in. Oh my God, he was awful. He was so bad.
MVP.
He was a designated player, yeah. And he played 9 times in 2 years, had 2 clean sheets in those 9 games. But my God, he was just – he is infamously known as one of the worst signings the club has ever made. And I would say one of the worst signings the league has ever made.
How do you bring in a DP to be your third goalie?
Right.
One thing I want to add on to that, you were talking about how the coach was talking about him and, like, never playing again. I read something that he got banned from practicing with the team.
Yep. Yeah,
so at the end of his contract, he had to
steal.
Yeah, so at the end of his contract, he had to go to the practice facilities on off hours to train by himself.
I heard his attitude was awful too. Like, yeah, I wouldn't, if I was a big money guy and I was not playing, I would not be happy.
Can we shout out Freddie Adu?
You can. I'm not going to. But you can.
I mean, obviously, we all picked the same part, like the same person.
Yeah.
But I forgot he was on Philly.
Yeah, didn't he play in like 2014?
Yeah.
He played at some point.
He's most known for obviously being on DC as the 14.
Yeah.
But Philly signed him after he was on Benfica, and then he was loaned out to Monaco, Belenenses, a team in Greece, and a team in Turkey.
Yep.
Like, you would think that you would get the hint, like, maybe this kid isn't turning out the way we thought he would be.
He scored 7 goals for them, though. That's pretty sick.
Which isn't – it's not terrible. 7 goals in 35 games, but if you look at the teams he's played for both before that and since then, it's been bad. Like, the dude plays for Las Vegas right now.
No, he doesn't. He's
done?
Yeah. Let's go on to Portland because I'm genuinely – thought people forgot about Ray Symbole. That's why I was like, oh, I got to shoe it. Nobody's going to pick this guy. I guess guys who concede legendary World Cup goals. Everybody would remember Thibaut Courtois if Wando scored. But now nobody knows who he is.
What a coincidence. I put Wando in San Jose. I'm kidding.
Well, we're on Portland, so we'll wait for that.
Yeah. So I know you and Connor picked the same person. I was so tempted to pick him as well. And we'll obviously get to him in a minute, but I put Lucas Milano. So he was brought in for 4.5 mil and then scored 5 goals in 60 games.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. Granted, he was on the team that won MLS Cup, but like it wasn't because of him.
Connor and I both picked Bryan Fernandes, and I hate to kick a horse while it's down, right?
That's the only reason I didn't pick him.
But I feel bad because we all know that he's going through some stuff. But he did it to himself, and he did it to his team. And he had a great first year, came in for 10 mil, and then left because he screwed his team over and MLS canceled his contract, which I did not know they could do. I know they signed through the league, and the league, like, assigns them, which is mad. Like, the league is in control of every contract, which is so MLS 1.0. But that's,
hashtag MLS.
That's another conversation. But, you know, I gave a pass to Alejandro Silva in Montreal because he was another big name, big signing, 1 year transfer out guy who played well. But he transferred out because Montreal got a great offer for him and made money. Fernandez let off the field issues control his on the field game, ruined his chances of being one of the best strikers Portland's ever seen. So I have to put him in there because he had so much potential and then he let a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the only reason I went with Milano is because he scored fewer goals. At least Brian Fernandez started out hot. Milano literally just never did anything.
I remember he was my captain for like 4 weeks, and then he just fizzled out, and I was like, oh, I'm not catching up.
Yeah.
I would say the only thing to add, for me personally, I know that he came in, and he was like tearing it up. He was playing so well. And then it was just like out of nowhere, it was like Portland terminates his contract. Yeah. And I was just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Because nobody knew about it. Nobody knew he had all these issues. And then all of a sudden, they were like, everybody in Portland was like, yeah, he's kind of a druggy. And we're like, oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a shame because he would have been a star in the league for sure.
Oh, he would have been so – that Portland team would have been so good with him up top still.
San Jose.
All right, San Jose.
You not like RSL?
Oh, yeah.
I knew I was missing a team. I couldn't figure it out.
It's okay.
Did you not pick anybody for RSL?
No. I definitely have somebody for RSL, but that's why I'm going last on this one.
Okay, go for it.
All right, so my RSL one is completely out of the blue. I'd be shocked if one of you had the same player, but his name is Kenny Doucher.
Connor, we got the same player. No.
Oh, you picked him also?
3 for 3. Wait,
did you? Oh, my God. I didn't think any of you guys would pick him. Anyway, the guy's nickname was Dr. Goal. Probably more for the fact that he was a doctor also, but still.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a doctor. Dr. Goal came over from Scotland where he had scored over 100 goals there, and it was going to be a great attacking addition for RSL. But, you know, it was his time in MLS was really the beginning of the end for his career because it just spiraled down from there. In his lone season with RSL, he had 29 appearances, 3 goals, and 2 assists. You know, he wasn't a DP or a record signing, but I just feel like the way he was hyped up to RSL fans and didn't live up to the hype at all kind of was just for being on the flop list.
I have nothing to add. I picked the same person.
If we're going with players who have fun nicknames, I'm going to go with El Burrito. Which is Juan Manuel Martinez, who was a DP for RSL in 2015-2016, had 40 games, 8 goals, and then just had his contract terminated. And I have negative ability to figure anything more about him because I may or may not have forgotten to do this. Honorable mention, Sam Johnson from this year, their designated player, because I think he scored like 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean, he has 9 goals, but I mean, he was awful.
He's got 9 goals, but he's only scored 3 times.
The only thing that kept Sam Johnson off my list, and complete honestly, because I've done a lot of research on RSL this round, he didn't score against Red Bull, so he clearly cannot be a bust.
San Jose.
I need you to allow me to be innocent on this one.
I'm so happy you made that pun. I was trying to think of one so hard. Wow.
I am innocent, and I forgot. Wow. Designated player, Innocent Amaraga. Remember this name?
Mm-hmm. No?
That's all right, because he made 13 appearances with 1 goal and 1 assist over 2 years. San Jose misses a playoff both years, off a signing. He wasn't even hurt. He just didn't play because long live Wando. That's all I need to say.
Yeah. So the only reason I remember this person is because of his first name.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the only memorable thing about him. And I obviously, he was the first name on my list. The other one was Giovanni. So San Jose's first ever DP. They signed him from a Hull City team that got relegated the season before. So good start. He scored 1 goal and 1 assist in his first game. You're thinking, all right, this signing could work out. Yeah, that was the only goal he ended up scoring for them.
Yeah.
He made 12 appearances, and then San Jose decided to not renew his contract, and that was the end.
It's almost like they tried to bring somebody in to knock Wando out, and Wando was like, get the hell out of here.
Yep.
This is my team.
I honestly believe that Adam and I did the exact same research for this podcast because everybody he's mentioning was someone I considered. But I also went with Emigara. So nice. Not much to add. Scored 1 goal, 0 assists. Was terrible.
Seattle.
This was crazy to think that this guy is going to be on this list, but it's.
I'm going
to
pick the same person.
I know you are.
Feel it.
I know you are. You want to say it together?
3, 2, 1.
Freddie Youngberg.
Jauri Joseph.
Oh.
We didn't go the same one.
Yeah. So Freddie Youngberg. Just makes it. So I try to stick to this decade, and he just sneaks in just at the beginning of the decade. But the man signed a $10 million contract for 2 seasons, missed the third of his debut season with a hip injury, and then dealt with migraines and then never played because his vision got so poor at the end. 0 goals in 15 games, and then was traded for a second-round draft pick. This is a man who won the Premier League not losing a single game, getting traded for a second-round draft pick in MLS. How bad do you have to have been?
That's a good one. And then Connor, Jauri Joseph?
Yeah. So I went with Jauri Joseph, which you could argue pretty easily. He's one an MLS legend. He was so good. But, you know, even we've had plenty of legends on this list. At some point, you know, they kind of just run out of gas in the tank. And it's not so pretty on the field anymore. And when I was doing research for this podcast, I remember – a bunch of like there was a post in Seattle Reddit, and they were asking about worst Seattle player that they've seen play, and a number of people picked Jauri Joseph. It's hard because if you just think of the name itself, you think of great performances, but he just had nothing left in the tank for Seattle. He had 12 appearances, 7 starts, 1 goal, 1 assist. He had like a 6.6 rating. It just wasn't great for someone who had the name and stature that he does. And if you compare him to the 2 other designated players at the time when he was there, it was just abysmal because he was competing against Dempsey and Obafemi Martins, which is the other designated players. So,
anybody remember the name Nelson Valdez?
No.
Exactly. Their designated player striker from 2015-2016 made 31 appearances. 1 league goal. We're going on the same trend of DP strikers that aren't good. Scored a few U.S. Open Cup and CCL goals, but 6 goals, 2 assists, and 44 total appearances on a DP salary. It doesn't do it for me. And I remember he was one of the first big, like, people that I remember was supposed to be a really good player. Like, there was a page I followed. Oh, I can't remember the name of it on Twitter. Anyways, it was an MLS, like, update page, and they would just tweet about how Nelson Valdez needed to be so much better than he was. And that's why I remember him. We'll move on to Sporting Kansas City, unless I missed another team.
I went with Jefferson.
Hold on, Connor.
He was on loan for Sporting Kansas City for a season where he was a designated player for them. And played half a season for them, making 9 appearances. That's it. Single-digit appearances as a designated player with a total of 0 goals and 1 assist. I still think even though it was a loan, they could just dump him off right afterwards. I think it was an extremely disappointing use in the DP slot.
So I don't even think he made it half a season. I think he was only there like 3 months.
Interesting. So I went with a more recent player in Johan Croze, brought in as a DP winger this last year. Over $1 million spent in transfer alone, let alone the salary that he's getting paid. 8 goals and 4 assists in 62 games, and I don't think that he's ever made it through a full 90. If he has, it's been very rarely. And looking at his past transfers, he played in Belgium and in Turkey, I believe, and he never, like, had a good season for any of them. So in the same sense that we were talking about
Patrick Mullins.
Thank you. Yeah. Even though you didn't spend a lot of money on Patrick Mullins. But anyways, you know, he never really, like, stood out. It was like, oh, this guy is somebody you want to spend that much money on. And he really never made an impact and was part of the KC season that was one to forget last year, and he was a big part of it because he never created on the wing. you know, they tried to bring him in to be the next Gonzalo Barone, and it just never worked out. So he's on there for me.
Yeah, I had the same person as Connor. I picked Jefferson as well.
No shock. Can I take Toronto?
Of course.
Yeah. There's a lot of Toronto people you can go with.
Hey, Connor, remember we were having an argument right Child after you made some very, very silly comments about one Jozy Altidore?
No, sure. Really.
And we were comparing him to somebody. Remember we were comparing him to a nice little Englishman who came in for $8 million to play 19 games?
You're going
to
go with him?
Absolutely. $8 million for 19 games just to send back to England. Toronto misses the playoffs this year, even though they have the highest market value of any club because of him. Bust. He scored 11 goals to do nothing. Again, this falls under the I'm gonna score goals but not do anything for my team. So he didn't do enough to get them out of where they were. Jermaine Defoe is a bust for me.
All right.
You guys probably have the same one anyway. So just one person.
Probably. Well, so I have two, but I'm picking the one I'm gonna pick. Has a very specific reason. It's because of the second one. So the player I picked was Julian de Guzman.
I already know where you're going with this.
Yeah. So the reason is Toronto's first ever DP signing was meant to come in, you know, be that solidifying player in the midfield after a decent career in Spain. Had 2 goals in 65 games over 3 seasons. Was injured a bunch. Didn't do a whole lot on the field. Was then traded to FC Dallas, where he played 8 games and also didn't score. So he didn't do anything, no matter where in MLS he played. However, the reason the kicker that puts him on this list is that he went to the Toronto board and recommended they sign another player by the name of Mista. He was recommended by our good friend Julian de Guzman. He scored 1 goal in 9 games and retired half a season in. And made $1 million and said, all right, I'm out. So not only did de Guzman suck, he then convinced them to sign his friend, who also sucked.
I was on the same train of thought as
no
Adam.
Shock there.
Yeah, no shock there. But I went with Mista instead of de Guzman.
It was either
but, one. You know, yeah, Adam pretty much covered everything.
Let's move on last to our one. Final team.
Last one.
I put Anthony Blondell because he was a striker brought in from Colombia for over $1 million. Again, played 18 games, scored once, and had 3 assists. Never made it past 85 minutes. I'm almost certain like he had like 7 or 8 of those 18 games were like 5-minute substitute appearances. Like he came on the 85th minute. Vancouver misses the playoffs, and then he goes back to Colombia. Bust.
So I had Mustafa Jarju.
Ooh, no, we had something different.
Whoa. Oh, wow. All right, so Jarju, before they signed him in 2011, he was in Belgium scoring 34 goals in 99 games, getting a pretty good return over there. And then he came to Vancouver, I think in their first season ever, and he played for 10 games, got 5 starts, and had 0 goals and 0 assists. And in those 10 games, before I go into this, he is an attacking player, might I remind you. He had 3 shots on goal in the 10 games. 3 shots on goal.
That's a great find, Connor. That's a really good find.
That's just brutal for Vancouver.
He was a lone player, though, which is why I didn't take him.
Bad loan still.
I agree. Terrible loan, but I think I know who Adam's going to take.
Interesting. Tell me, who am I picking?
I maybe could guess also.
Does he have 3 names?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going Nigel Rio-Coker.
I was so close.
I knew you were.
So close.
I knew you were.
Literally the 3 names I had were Nigel Rio-Coker, Jarju, and the person I did end up picking. So maybe my favorite story, and I couldn't find the whole backstory, so there may be details that I'm missing. But the player I picked was Barry Robson.
Oh, that's a
that's what I was gonna guess.
Yeah. That's a great shout.
So the man signed a 3-year contract as a DP, played 18 times, scored 3 goals, and I don't know what happened in the interim, but he comes back to preseason and the club terminates his contract because they literally told him that he didn't think his family was settling into Canada well. So they just kicked him out the door.
Oh my god.
Oh, fantastic. That's a great shout. Anyways, it was a great episode. This was a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody, for getting this far. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I mean, I had a great time today. Yeah. You know, make sure you are following us on all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Make sure you're following your team's Reddits because we'll be in there too. Now I'm in there all the time. You guys love our videos, and I'm actually about to go post more after this is over. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast because you need to know when we get these new videos out. And also, make sure you get ready for next week because if it's not the second half of this, if we don't split this up in half, we're going to go ahead and do some start bench cut, I think. Is that next up? I think that is.
It may be. And sure. I haven't told the other two hosts yet, but I'm working on an interview.
Ooh, potential guest. Or we have an interview. So either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun on these podcasts. So make sure you guys stick around and keep supporting, keep retweeting, sharing. Get it out there because we love talking to you guys. We love having you guys in the comments. Connor, just a quick peek.
No.
Connor, all right. For the people who've been trying to figure it out, Connor has a huge fat head of himself playing tennis right behind his head. So
you don't know that.
Oh, I know that. I've been there. If this podcast gets 50 views or downloads, 50 downloads, Connor's showing it in the next episode.
Deal.
How about 100?
No, 50.
No, we got to aim big. We got to aim big.
75. That is big. What's the difference?
75. We'll 75.
75 is our highest right now. If we can pass our highest, you have to show it.
I'll leave it up there for the whole next episode.
All right, so we know what we got to hit. Let's do it. All right, guys, thanks again for coming. This has been another episode of the Designated Players Podcast, and we will see you next time on the next episode.